welcome to the Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandino Woodall. How y'all doing? Bryce?
No, we're not doing this.
That's not your real name. Identity.
How you doing, Bryce?
Oh, I am fine. It's been a week. My grandma's funeral was yesterday. I'm not going to get into it, but it wasn't great. Tonight, I warmed up a donut for 10 seconds, and I have a scald on my lip. I literally burned my lip off. For all those watching on YouTube.
Look. What?
Do you see it?
Yeah, I was like,
that hurts
got
very bad.
That's a cold sore.
No, it's not.
That's a cold sore. We've literally spent the last hour and a half together, and this is the first we're hearing of it.
That's kind of
I
odd.
Saved it for the podcast.
That's quality
dude,
content.
It hurts so bad. The pus keeps running down my chin.
That's disgusting.
And I can
gross.
Feel it. Yeah, gross is right. It won't stop.
That's yeah. Icky.
You nasty.
So that's how I'm doing. But I'm on vacation from work nasty. This week, so I'm great.
That's
good how, for are you. How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing all right. I also attended your grandmother's funeral.
It was great, wasn't it?
It was a thing. Brittany and I ran the video.
You ran the video, yeah.
Yeah.
You think so,
we set up a Facebook Live with a camera that was taped to the tripod because we didn't
have we couldn't find the gimbal for the phone, and I forgot to bring these.
So we used painter's tape, which was not solid. And then we forgot that Facebook Live videos are supposed to be done in upright.
Not sideways.
So we put it sideways. So anybody who tuned in had to like lock their phones rotate so that they could watch it the right way.
So my cousin who is 40 something was very confused.
Yeah.
He was like, it's mad. Sideways.
Yeah.
What? He's probably mad.
Well.
It's
whatever.
Again, yeah. Well, I don't want to talk about
it's
it.
Whatever. But I mean, like, and then after that, we had like a couple really cool graduation parties and stuff that were more fun than the funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to a recital afterwards, a dance sense. Recital. It was a lot more fun than a funeral.
Yeah. But yeah, no, otherwise, good week.
Yeah.
Did you say how you were, or did you just say what you were?
No,
name
no,
was?
He's last, remember?
Oh.
Save the worst for last.
Brett Welty.
Oh.
How are
me?
You?
Oh, me.
Welchy.
Well, when you ask me like that.
Like what?
I'm like how are you? It's great. Great. So good. Oh, yeah. No, no problems.
You look good, too.
Feeling good. I'm starting to diet tomorrow.
Whoa.
You can already tell.
Do?
I don't know. So my company is providing one for free. All I had to do was like register. And so I'm like, they're only taking like a certain number of people. I'm like, all right, I'll register. And if I don't get in, I don't get in. Well, I got in. So.
Oh.
Apparently nobody in my company cares about health, so I got in. So I'm starting tomorrow.
And you don't know what you're doing.
So all I'm running,
very confused.
Well, I'm running under half information. Like for a long time, we did one where you had to register, and then like if you didn't show results, then you have to pay for it. So I don't think this is that. Well, this is like a straight free. Hopefully you do good. So there's that. So we'll see how that goes. I got a box in the mail that has a bag of popcorn and a small thing of Pringles in it, and then the like.
How is that a diet? That sounds delicious.
Well, I think it's
low
one
sodium.
Of those, well, I think it's one of those diets, kind of like that Noom diet, where it's like you don't change the food you eat, but you change your relationship to food. Air quotes, your relationship to food.
I know what you're talking about. Healthy relationships with inanimate objects.
Mine is a toxic romance. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So is mine.
I eat till I'm sick, and I'm sick till I eat.
It's true.
So we'll see. So, if you're watching online, maybe someday I'll be half the man you see today. I'm not optimistic, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try.
I believe in you. I'm going to start biking to work, so.
You said that, and I don't believe it.
Well, I was going to on Friday, and then board meetings happened, and I'm not a liar. I have everything in my garage for that to happen.
Well, so do I. Doesn't mean I'm going to start biking to work.
I wouldn't bike to your work. Heck no.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know my work never did nothing
it's
to
a lot of hills.
To provide a living.
No, it's the area.
It's just hills.
It's hill. That's true. It is
there
hill.
Are lots of hills. Oh, gosh.
The less hills. Well, enough about me.
Hills killed my paw. You guys hating on hills. They're just easy on the way down.
Because they have eyes.
That's true. Oh, yes.
Good. No, they're alive.
Not really.
Didn't she tell you anything? Sound
and
music?
They're going to eat you.
They're alive and
the
they're
hills
going
are alive.
To eat you. Don't make a sound or a sudden move. This is the whole song I had at one point.
That's
bad.
That's my dad's favorite movie. Yeah.
What?
Oh, that's a lie. Mary Poppins is my dad's favorite movie. Same.
Dad is like a sweet little riddle wrapped in an enigma. What a guy.
That's not true.
What a sweetheart.
He's a weird man.
Brandon Woodall, how are you?
Oh.
Just let that sit for a minute.
I'm all right. Okay. I'm sunburnt.
You're a tomato.
Tomato.
Yeah, you're even more red on camera.
I had to work.
You got that hat line.
I had to work yesterday, and then I had to go to a graduation.
You worked for your work?
Yeah, for work.
Oh. Yep. Why?
That's how I got my raise. So I work salt sales.
Oh?
He's hustling.
Yeah.
Ace.
But then I'd go to graduation and fry outside. But on the health thing, my blood pressure is a lot lower.
Mm. Oh.
And my weight's lower.
Mm. I'm so proud of you.
And contrary to popular belief, I bike to work.
Oh. Well, we've seen
unlike some people.
It was one day.
I've biked like at least 7.
It was one day, and if I take my kids to school, I can't bike to work.
Just get a wagon. I got one. You can borrow mine.
I might take you up on that just so I can take Maverick with me this week.
I got one of those.
Do you?
Like one of those, like you lay in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I lent it to him once.
Yeah, now I got my own.
Boom.
I took a ride in it one time. It was awesome.
My legs hurt.
Burn me up.
When you took Andrew for a ride. Yeah.
He was tired.
Now we're talking about hills.
He could not walk.
Oh, hey. I'm not doing the intro.
Oh, all right.
But Brett is doing
the intro.
Schmelty is.
Redward. So
this should be way better than the last one.
We'll see.
I can't even remember the last one.
I don't remember. Last time I listened to was from like a month ago. I don't remember what we did last time. So I stumbled across, it's kind of like an onion. It has many layers and each one makes you cry.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing happened was the first layer of tears is that I found it on Twitter. Strike one.
Even better.
Second of all, it was a thread that somebody shared by the Matt Walsh, if you're familiar. Strike
two. Matt Walsh.
Oh, me too. I mean, great.
Yeah. I love Matt Walsh.
And then number three, the content of said Matt Walsh's information is the Bible according to Generation Z. Which is apparently a generation now, and I've never felt or sounded older, but here we are. But they have translated the Bible into this new language. And let me read you some of these gems. We'll play a game.
Do we have to guess the reference?
You guess the reference.
Oh, okay. Shoot.
You guess the reference, and I'll look them up, too. So
I was
going to
say I need my phone, but it's...
I'll read the real one to you. So, first one. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cap G... His words are one hundo, straight up slicing and dicing and knowing it all. Where could you find this verse in your Bible? Cap G's words are one hundo, straight up slicing and dicing and knowing it all.
Is that Hebrews 4:12?
It is, Eugene.
Yeah. No, I looked up two-edged sword. That's all I could remember. I figured slicing and dicing.
So, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Or, Cap G's words are one hundo. Slicing and dicing. Knowing it all. So, that's one. I read some of these to you guys before we came on, so you'll get them. But
you did.
Let's do this one. This is my favorite. I actually quoted this to myself like 3 times last week. I got your holy scripts padlocked in my chest thumper.
You were so excited to share that at Bible study.
I was.
It was hilarious.
I got your holy scripts padlocked in my chest thumper.
Oh, shoot.
Your word is hitting my psalm something.
Okay. That's actually, you're right, but I feel like it's not close enough.
Your word is hidden in my heart. Word.
There you go.
Psalm 119:105.
111, or just 11. Psalm 119:11 is, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So I got your holy scripts padlocked in my chest thumper.
That's
so good. So good.
Thank you, Gen Z.
I'll give you one more for now.
Thank you. For now?
Well, I only have 2 more. I guess I can do 2 more. I'll do this one, you'll know because I read it to you already. Since day uno, there was Cap G. Big G was chilling with Cap G, and Big J was Cap G.
You read that wrong.
Oh, good. Well, I'd hate to speak in heresy tonight as I'm reading this quote-unquote translation.
You know what? I'll pull up the past translation.
Okay.
Oh, it's probably, it's almost the same.
Since day uno, yes. There was Cap G.
At least by meaning.
Big J was chilling with Cap G, and Big J was Cap G.
That's John 1.
Where was God?
That is John 1, yeah. Very good.
Well, I mean, we literally just talked about it, so.
That one's an easy one, though. Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't.
That's true.
We probably would know.
Last one. Not swerving by these scripts. Because Cap G be giving that get out of jail free card to the whole fam. Like, I know the reference, and I have no idea how to connect it to the words.
What?
Let me read it again. Not swerved by these scripts, because Cap G be giving that get out of jail free card to the whole fam. If you hear this, the sound of the background is me turning actual pages of an actual Bible to quote actual scripture. Lest you think we don't know what's happening.
I think it's Romans 1.
It is. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Yeah. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So that's the whole fam, I guess.
That's the whole fam.
And to get out of jail free is, I mean, do I want to say it's heretical? I mean, it is.
Don't worry.
Let's just be clear.
We are aware.
Okay. Just to make sure. For all those listening at home, I do not endorse the Bible according to Gen Z.
Sure.
But I am all about keeping them holy scripts locked up in my chest.
My favorite is to go on the Bible app.
Okay.
And you can get Hawaiian Pigeon.
Read me something.
Is that a translation?
Yeah. Tell me it is. Let's go.
The Hawaiian Pigeon Bible.
Let's hear one.
I'm scared.
John 3:16.
Let's do it.
All right. God get plenty love and aloha for the people inside the world. That's why he send me his one and only boy. Because of that, everybody that trusts me, no gain get cut off from God forever. There's no breaks.
It's not breaks. Come on, pop the brakes.
They go and get the real kind laughed at. Go and stay to the max forever.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Aloha.
I can't.
I don't even know what you said.
It's John 3:16.
I mean, I know what John 3:16 says.
It's so weird. So different. But.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know.
Here you go. I'll read you one from plain English.
Plain English? Which one?
John 3:16. You see, God loved all the people in the world. He loved everyone so much. They sent him his only son, his special son. God sent him
it's to a die special
instead
boy.
Of them. Wait, so if anyone trusts him, God will not finish them up, but they will live with him forever.
He will not finish them up.
That's what it says.
What is
that's
that?
Plain that's English.
Plain English version.
I can't be any more plain.
That's the plain English version.
Yeah, that's it. Huh. I can't be any more plain.
Passion Translation.
Let it rip.
Oh, boy.
It's probably not that bad, but... For he is the what? For here is
it's not that bad, okay. But he can't read it.
Sorry. For here is the way God loved the world. He gave his only son, unique son, as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish but experience everlasting life.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
It's not the worst.
Well, clearly we just read two that were terrible.
Plain English, huh?
Like, I don't know, guys. I couldn't be any more clear.
I've never heard that. I'll try to find another one.
I want to do the Tree of Life version. Here we go.
Do it.
No, it's lame. It's just right. Forget it. So funny. It's
the Tree of Life version. That's more of a Jewish translation.
What are you doing with your hands?
I'm gonna get one of these. I'm gonna get one of these pigeon Bibles. Everybody
is that all you're doing over there? Just like,
everybody do bad kind of stuff. That's why nobody can do nothing for come awesome the way that God like them because awesome. That's Rome 3:23.
Okay, enough of this tomfoolery. I give the reins back to you, Brandon.
To me?
Old tomfoolery.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're here to do a podcast.
Yeah. It's not just we're not,
we're not
catching up.
We're not hanging out.
Oh. Dude, we haven't seen each other since like Tuesday, and it's weird.
Yeah,
weird.
Feel uncomfortable. Oh, hey, we're on our next subject. We finished off worship, which you guys are going to be hearing this later on. But I'm very cynical about worship, and I think that comes out So, and I normally don't listen to our episodes, but I listened to this one and I was like, shoot. I felt so. Just know the Lord is working on me, mm-hmm. working in my heart, changing my mind, changing my thoughts and all that kind of stuff, dude.
So that you might be bearing more fruit?
Yes.
Oh.
Hey.
Transition.
We're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And guess who we can open up with? John Mark Comer.
JMC.
That's your boy.
Boy. So John Mark Comer said it like this.
Cromer?
Cromer.
Cromer.
Edit.
Cranmer.
Cranberries. Cramer. John Mark Comer says it like this. We become like Jesus through a long obedience in the same direction, through a way of life that is countercultural to the inertia of our city, nation, and our time, which is bearing good fruit. We become like Jesus the more we learn about him and we live this Christian life. You know, what are we trying to avoid in our, in moving towards this? Like, what are we trying to get rid of in our lives? Mm-hmm. Brett.
I stopped listening because that is a direct knockoff of Eugene Peterson's book on pastoring. Is the it? Long obedience in the same direction. That's literally his book. Well, but anyway.
Yeah.
What was the question?
No, what are we trying to get rid of?
Oh, we are trying to get rid of the sin in our life.
Yes.
Right? I thought of a verse that we were talking before we got going here is in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. Mm-hmm. So God's will for us is to make us more into the image of his son. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:3. And so we, in talking about the fruit of the Spirit, I think the thing we're trying to avoid is, well, you have Galatians 5:13-21 here, which how much I can read some of that if you'd like.
Oh, no. Like the specific things that we're trying to, that we can categorize, I guess, or mm-hmm. whatever. And then we flip them around to what we're gaining
mm-hmm.
when we become
mm-hmm.
Followers of Christ.
Right.
So we're trying to get rid of sexual immorality,
mm-hmm.
moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. So we're trying to get rid of all. These are the things that we are losing in our flesh when Christ comes and changes us. And then what we're striving to become are the things that the attributes of that we're trying to, I don't want to say we're like working, but good faith causes good works. So we're trying to take these attributes of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control on.
Which not is, generosity.
Not generosity.
Well,
that is not.
That's not a fruit of the Spirit.
That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Don't let anyone tell you this. That's
at a
false.
Funeral.
But now
I've never heard it at a funeral.
Now I'm not validated.
You think God's going to validate your parking
that
because you gave
my
somebody
identity
to
right there?
Got to get your card punched.
No,
can you please tell the story?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to.
It's not like that great. I mean, it's not that in depth of a story,
but it's funny.
I just happened to be at a funeral, and the officiant was a Catholic, was a priest, and he was talking about the recently deceased and said he was a great man, very generous, which was a fruit of the Spirit, you know. And, you know, everybody there was like, okay. And like my mind is slowly exploding, you know, on the inside. I'm like, I've read that.
And
that's
not
in
there.
That's I don't think. I mean, you could make an argument in a roundabout way, kindness or goodness or whatever, but to say that it is one of the fruits of the Spirit is, I think, an overstatement.
Yeah.
And incorrect.
Yeah, it was not ideal. I mean, I knew the guy pretty well. He was generous, but to say that's a fruit of the Spirit, I think would be a little premature.
I think generosity comes out of just, I don't know, us, our mindsets and our lives changing.
Well,
it's not a fruit of the Spirit by any means, but it's just a part of.
It could be an end result of one of them or a couple of them.
Yeah.
It's like a frozen yogurt made out of a fruit of the Spirit.
That's awesome.
It's like it gets there, but it's not actually a fruit.
Yeah. That's true.
That's exactly right.
Bryce, this is science. Exactly. Stop staring at me like that.
I don't. Okay.
No, that's exactly
I'm not
right.
There.
Well, okay. I would say, so as we're going to tackle the fruit of the Spirit as laid out by Paul in Galatians 5,
yep.
you know, we want to say that these aren't the only fruit that, you know, these wouldn't be the only fruit that we would see in our lives, but we would see that what I do want to say is, and this is a quote from Leon Morris in his commentary on Galatians, it says, it might be significant that the word fruit in Galatians 5 is singular. Paul's not speaking about a series of fruits that would be shared around so that one believer has one and one has another. Rather, he's referring to a cluster such that all these qualities are to be manifested in each believer. So though these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit might not be the only things we see in people's lives, this cluster of things creates a full picture of who we are to be. And so maybe we might struggle individually in certain aspects of these fruits of the Spirit, like maybe kindness or peace or self-control or whatever. Those might be ones where we might lag behind, but the overall scope of our Christian life is to say that these come as a package and they come together. It's the fruit. It's one bunch. It's like a bunch of grapes. And these are what they're called. So.
Yeah, I think it's kind of coming back to our Holy Life series as well, that we're trying to be like Jesus and be with him and become like him and do what he did. We're trying to do all these things for the greater good of others, and we're growing closer to Christ and becoming more like him, which is the whole Christian way.
Right. This is me being nerdy Bible guy. What I love about where the fruit of the Spirit are found in the Bible is in the book where Paul spends the first 3 or 4 chapters talking about how our faith is not rooted in works. Mm-hmm. Our faith is not in anything that we do. So it would seem that the people in Galatia were people that were saved by Christ, but then tried to backfill their lives with following the Jewish law in some way. And he says just crazy stuff about these guys. And he says things like, for freedom, Christ has set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. He says these things like, who hindered you from obeying the truth? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence that the Lord will take you no other view. So he's saying you're free. You're free to follow Christ. And so the fruit of the Spirit is the freedom to follow Christ after we've been saved.
Yeah.
The fruit of the Spirit does not save us. Like, we should say that on the front end. Like,
yes,
the fruit of the Spirit does not save us. You can try to muster all the peace and patience and kindness you can, but apart from Christ, those are not saving works.
Yeah.
They're not saving fruit.
They're the after effect
of
salvation.
They're the fruit, not the root.
Yeah.
The root is faith.
So as we grow deeper in our faith, we start to bear these fruits, and they grow and grow and grow through all time. And at least time on earth, they will keep growing, growing. And I don't know if there's anything to prove that they would be like, because we're going to keep learning and knowing more about God on the other side too.
You know, yeah, we talked about that last time.
Yeah, so it's like we're going to keep growing and growing, and then we just start taking on the characters of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. I use the Bible obviously to glean for these notes and these next episodes, but I also used a book called "Cultivating the Fruit of the Spirit" by Christopher J. H. Wright. Present, please. Yes, yes.
That's a book.
Yes, it's very good. Got on Amazon. It's like $13.
I can't.
It's very, very good. I think they have Audible. Christopher J. H. Wright said this: on the one hand, some Christians stress the importance of keeping all the rules, that you must do this and never do that if you want to prove you are really a Christian. On the other hand, there are those who reject the whole idea of rules or traditions in the church and see the point of the Christian faith as setting us free from the institutionalized religious burden. But Paul addresses these two, what was that say?
Competing.
I can't see. I should have worn my glasses. Started over. But Paul addresses these two competing views by showing us a far better way, a truly Christian way to live our lives. It is the way of the Spirit of God given to us through Christ. Walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. That is the heart and soul of Christian living, the center and secret of what it means to be a person who belongs to Christ. So we're walking by the Spirit, and the Spirit is growing us deeper in all of these things. Like I said, and we're always going to reiterate that it's for the better of others.
Yes.
Yes. For you. And for you. And for you. For all.
For me?
We're supposed to be uplifting each other.
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's Galatians 5, mm-hmm. 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a question for you. For, and let's make it super simple, sweet, and gentle. You know that rhyming? But he says, I want to ask you this. What does it look like for us to biblically take on these fruits of the spirits practically in our everyday lives? What do you think that, what do you think that looks like?
Are you looking for like examples?
Yeah.
Or like, how do we get there?
Yeah. Give me an example.
Give me an example of how you got there.
You just killed Andy.
Yeah, my brain just shut off for a second.
Let's see, random.
If you point at me. And...
Brian, you point at me. Hold
on. I can
yeah, you go, Andy. You got this.
So let's talk about joy.
Joy.
Ooh, like joy is one of them. And I found that in Christ, joy can be a choice. I think that for people without Christ, I don't know. I guess I don't know if joy can still be experienced or not. Maybe common grace joy, but not true joy. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Sure.
But I know that I've been through some things that should not produce joy, and I found joy in the Lord. And I had the opportunity, I think, to not experience that joy. But through the Spirit, was able to. I don't know how detailed we want to get.
No, you don't have to get super detailed.
But yeah, I mean, it's to the point where it does what fruit does. It is an evidence of the Spirit, because in a situation where, like, you either have to have eternal hope in Jesus or you're insane to be feeling joy right now.
Yeah.
Like, those are your two options.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
And I'm maybe both, but, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I just was able to get there when I shouldn't have been able to get there.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a study that says, I can't remember who stated it, but when we, like, if we expect our lives to be better than they actually will be, like, if we expect to not struggle, then our lives seem to be a little harder. But when we expect that life isn't necessarily fair and that it's going to be hard, it's easier to cope with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a broad comment, like a common grace thing.
Yeah.
But there is, like, if we're truly living the way that we're, the way that, like, through the Spirit and led by the Spirit, like, people can tell that we have a different kind of joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the joy of, I don't know, like of the, like a flat, like a, like a worldly joy or whatever, a secular kind of joy. We're finding joy in like our accomplishments. We're just full of joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's,
I have only, an example.
As yeah. Well. It's only done by the Spirit.
So last year when I couldn't walk and was having weird seizures that were completely unexplainable, the only thing that got Becca and I through that was peace. But it was unexplainable peace. It was probably one of the most stressful times of our lives because she literally had to carry me up those stairs. Like she took care of everything, but she was calm and she was collect. And the only explanation is a fruit of the Spirit and, and Christ and God. And so, yeah, shout out to my amazing wife through that time. But yeah, it's a...
Used to train to be a firefighter.
She did. She literally firefighter carried me up the stairs.
I didn't know that, but I guessed that.
Yep. Yeah, so...
It's like when a mom gets like... lifts a car off their baby. You know?
Dude. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The adrenaline just kicks in his
mom gets the 10-man strength. Yeah.
She did it every day for... 3.5 months.
Wow. One day it was a struggle. She was like, call me mom. And then we'll get it.
Do you have one?
That reminds me of a very stupid
Do you want
movie.
An example or do you want? So the question was, What does it look like for us to take the fruits of the Spirit practically in our everyday lives? So I would say, practically speaking, when it comes to pursuing the fruit, I would say in verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So I think there's two sides of this discussion, and there's the ones where the Spirit shows up, you know, miraculously, and it just seems like there's this peace when there shouldn't be. There's this joy when it shouldn't be. And we experience that because it's a Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit moves us. There's also a time, I think, to where we have to be diligent to pursue. And so when it comes to things like patience or kindness or love, even, I think, for me, a lot of the practicality is knowing what the Bible commands me to do and asking for the Spirit to give me the strength to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not a naturally patient person.
Yeah.
I don't love everybody. I don't, you know, I guess I'm a somewhat kind person, so that's not a difficult one. But
we'll brag a bunch, why don't you?
Yeah, right. Well, this isn't here about humility anymore. Those are other verses about humility.
Self-control.
Not great. I'm going on a diet on Monday. It's because I lack self-control. So obviously I need that one. Yeah. I think a lot of it is just, Galatians is such a great book. In chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but he who lives in me. So this idea of the sins of our life have been mortified or killed or crucified, but they pop up every day. So to me, the pursuit of the fruit of the Spirit is dying to self and seeking God's grace to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always think, of gentleness for moms, especially like stay-at-home moms or whatever. I'm not even stay-at-home moms, like parents in general.
True.
Like I always see to brag on my wife how gentle she is with not only my kids, but with everyone's kids. And that is not in any sense or form, that's not a natural reaction to kids.
Yes, kids are annoying.
Ew.
And so easy to beat up.
Yeah. Or whatever. So it's like, yeah.
It's true, though.
It's true. But no, so I like
the video games make them so violent, where they so easy to beat the crap.
No, it's like, so I think of Bethany through gentleness, is, and seeing her be as gentle as she is, it's like, well, I want to do that. I want to be that way. And every time, anytime someone says something about it, she's like, it's only through grace, through the Lord, that I can be this way. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what we strive to do. That's what we strive to be like, is kind and patient, gentle and good. So let's hit.
Well, can I ask a question
yes,
before we do
ask
that?
Ask a question.
Why are our wives better than us? That's the question I want to ask.
That's easy.
Easy answer. That's not a hard one at all. My question is, are some of these fruits, less popular today?
Yes.
Like what I think of is I think of kindness and I think of gentleness and I think about being a guy and I think about working in a corporate setting and, you know, when it comes to business and I think a lot about so what does it look like to be kind and to be gentle in the world today?
Great question.
I have ideas on how,
this is all theory. Yeah. And obviously none of us are doing
it. Yeah. I've got I think looking past, not to get into this sphere, but looking past political affiliation and not, because right now we're super divided in that spectrum. And to come in a neutral playing ground with that, I think brings on something to people like, oh, you're not getting worked up over this kind of talk.
Quit riding the fence.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just
Bryce knows who told me that.
I'm trying.
Oh, you that's okay. I'm not going to call him out on this.
Shout out Dave Ryder.
No.
It's the perfect time to shout him out. Perfect time.
I don't know. I think in that sphere, that brings kind of the tension down. which is patience and peace. You're bringing peace into a conversation that, or because when you're saying, I totally lost it.
Gentleness and kindness in the workplace.
In the workplace. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I said, just looking over one of the fences and letting things go, which would be probably under, I don't know, patience.
Well, yeah, or even love, right? Peter says, love, you know, love covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just kind of looking over things and be like, you know what? This is not as personal as I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Even if one is direct at you, calling you out on something that isn't that big of a deal, it's just letting it go, which is hard to do.
Do you guys think that you can be a man and be full of the Spirit?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I do too, but what does it look like? I mean, right? I mean, like, I think, okay, maybe this is my hobby horse, right? Like, Brandon's talking about politics. Maybe I'm just talking about whatever I think about. And what I think about is putting together this idea that I think the world and even in some churches, biblical manhood looks a certain way. But we come to texts like this and I say, you know, true strength, true manliness is being kind.
Mm-hmm.
It is being gentle.
Yeah.
And it is being patient and loving.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I think the way you treat someone's kids is indicative of the spirit you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, or the way you treat, you know, Jesus talks about, you know, in Matthew 25, how you treat the least of these.
Mm.
So I think there's a strength and I would maybe say God goes for a manliness in a man, to live this way. And it's not the opposite. I think too often we buy the lie that men should be, you know, talk low, talk slow, and don't say much.
Or the opposite of like,
I don't do any of that.
Or like, or the like, if you look at like modern like sitcoms, men are stupid.
Stupid. Mm. The kids were watching one the other day, and I shut it off. I was like, you're never watching this again.
Like they play.
The dad is stupid.
Yeah, they play him off as dumb
and
ignorant, and just like, I'm just gonna do this stupid thing today. Which is not, but it's not true.
We're not dumb.
No, true.
I mean,
not as dumb as we're portrayed to be.
Yeah.
It's true. And I think that it's hard to, in media at least, it's hard to portray a successful male character without somebody thinking, well, why are they the one that gets to be successful?
Right.
Yeah.
Because I think further in the past, I mean, yeah, maybe there was an uneven portrayal in the other direction, and so now we're overcorrecting, which we're just gonna, that's just, the world is gonna be overcorrecting until it's destroyed, you know, like that's kind of our future, is to just sway further and further into different, you know, over the fence and back until it gets so far away, like that's just our destiny as a world, I guess until it's over.
I look back at examples of how I probably could, I could have just not taken offense to people's words and just moved on. But we're taught to hold anything against anybody for as long as you want, because that's the way you feel.
Your feelings matter.
Yeah, and it's your truth.
Your truth matters.
As long as you have some dumb friend saying that you're justified in feeling the way you feel.
You can find anybody that will justify the way you feel.
It's not hard.
It's not hard.
True.
I cannot believe they did that to you. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that in my life.
Can I just say there was, I was reading some book where this guy was talking about how he had overheard a conversation where two friends were encouraging their other friend to use her children to get back at her ex-husband, like to how to use them to punish him.
That's infuriating.
And I'll for the first thing I could think is like, man, that's surreal. And then maybe a year or two later, I experienced the same thing at a restaurant somewhere that I just like overheard a conversation where they were like, well, you know, you can do this. And it really inconveniences him. But if he says no, then he's just telling me he's hating his kids. Like, you know, it's just,
yeah.
The world is sick and twisted.
Yes. Like, be mindful of your friend group, because
yes. Surround yourself with people that are going to not only lift you up,
but
hold you accountable and call you out on your junk when you get called out on.
Yep.
you know, it's hard. It's hard to, like, take criticism. But it's
no
okay.
One likes it.
Not if you do it like Dave Sowers. Okay. If we can all do it like him, we're
yes.
golden.
We're gold.
One guy in 7 billion.
Gold.
Mm-hmm. I like our chances.
Yeah. I know. Wait, I'm you got something, huh?
No, I mean, I was just thinking about, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. I'm just thinking of verses. We're talking about, you know, kind of the peripheral. I mean, this is an overview of the fruit of the Spirit. Yes. So the idea is the question was, what does this look like on a daily basis? And I think practically, you know, like you guys are saying, who you spend your time with, who speaks into your life, it matters, right? I mean, because I think you guys could all speak to this in a unique way today, because you guys, I think, attended a membership class about becoming members at a certain church you go to. You know that it's also the one I go to. But the idea is that you know, there's an accountability there, and that's what is just so interesting. It feels like we're rambling, but like we're literally going in the exact direction Paul's logic goes, right? Because if you keep reading in chapter 6, it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ," right? Mm-hmm. We don't fulfill the law, the Old Testament law, that's been done. So fulfilling the law of Christ is loving your neighbor as yourself. So bearing that person's burdens like it's your burdens. So a real live option for how we grow in the fruit of the Spirit is to fellowship.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, who you listen to, who you talk to, who you let speak in your life, it all matters.
Or even what content you put into your mind, because we have that to go against too.
Yeah, I got to hear a very wise mom today say, she was telling back a story, something she had to say to her daughter, who had just like been raving about these two new friends she made and talking about how like these are like soulmate friends and they have so much in common, but they're not believers. And she's like, if you have everything in common, but you don't have Jesus in common, you don't have anything in common.
Yeah.
Please do not add those to your close circle.
Like, yeah. That's good.
That's awesome.
That was Tess.
Yeah, I figured.
You figured that's Tess, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I knew where you were tonight.
We're going to interview her later on an episode.
We are. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I'm going to make it happen.
Let's segue into just quickly describing all these different fruits. Just so you guys know, we are just going to hit every single one of them in its singular episode. But I just wanted to give you guys a brief overview of what is to come. But yeah, love. To me, after I kept reading through, love seems to be the centerpiece of every single one of these. We cannot do any of these without love. Because if we're doing them out of work, then...
Sorry, my brain went to a song and...
All you need is love?
All you need is... Thank you.
I'm just saying... It's the one that seems to like be the center of it all.
Mm-hmm. Can I read you something that confirmed that? So in 2 Peter, it says, maybe that's why I thought of it, but it says basically, well, I would want to read all of 2 Peter chapter 1, but I can't.
Exactly.
So verse 5 is in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffectual or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it would seem that Peter is kind of reverse engineering the fruit and saying, let these build on your faith. So you have faith in Christ, that's the bedrock, and then you're adding to it. And then the pinnacle is love.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And in one of the commentaries I read when I taught Galatians back when rocks were soft was that one guy thought that the main fruit of the Spirit is love, and then all the other ones kind of hold it up. So out of love comes joy. Out of love comes peace. Mm-hmm. Out of love for God and neighbor comes patience. So that's some people have made that connection.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we just confirmed love is what's pushing.
Well, when we get to the episode, we got to read 1 Corinthians 13, right? I mean, Paul puts a high premium on love.
I was like, because that's not only the marriage.
No,
marriage text.
It has nothing to do with marriage.
It just gets used context. As marriage, yeah, but correct. It's actually Christian life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct.
You know,
correct.
We, you, if you want a scripture reference, you can use Galatians 5:6. What Brett says in 1 Peter, but it's like for Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love.
Amen.
Joy. Let's hit some joy. So through the Holy Spirit and through the Word, we are shown how to live a joyful life that is Spirit-filled. Yep. John 15:11 says, I have told you these things so that John 15:11. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Our joy is made complete through Christ.
Amen.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Nat Chandler has a quote that says, joy is eternal. Happiness can be lost with a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
So joy is deeper than happiness. Happiness can be ruined by a phone call.
This is not about being happy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
we'll get to.
My class right now has, the question for this week was, what brings you joy and happiness? Okay, as if they are one thing.
If they're one.
And let me tell you, the paragraph I wrote was not a paragraph. And I deeply explained that they are not the same thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm going to get a good grade on it because of it. But it's fine. I essentially told them their thought process is wrong.
Nice.
Do it.
Do it.
I did. I submitted it on Wednesday.
Did you tell them in love?
Yeah, it was loving.
That's easy with salt.
I just told them what they're saying is wrong.
Yeah.
Speak the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
You're good.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
All right, peace.
We at it. Wait, no, that's not
your mom. No.
I'll take this one.
You go
ahead. I can read what you wrote.
I was going to say, are you going
to
read them all?
We are to strive to live lives of peace with God, others, and ourselves. Psalm 85:8-10 says, I will listen to what God will say. Surely the Lord will declare peace to his people, his faithful ones, and not let them go back to foolish ways. His salvation is very near to those who fear him, so that glory may dwell in our land. Faithful love and truth will join together. Righteousness and peace will embrace. Then, and there's, what's the verse that says? It's a Philippians 4:6-7, right? Be anxious for nothing, but through all things, through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, because I think with peace in our modern era, we have a low-grade hum of anxiety through
mm-hmm.
everything,
mm-hmm.
and peace is such mm-hmm. a countercultural ideal to strive for.
Yep.
And it's not peace through wellness. I just want to, it's not peace through wellness.
What's the opposite of peace, you think?
Anxiety.
First of all, I think that on a worldly level, when we say peace, what we mean is security.
That's good.
Which is a little different because security is us trying to set up safeguards and protect ourselves, whether it's money, power, influence, just, being a doomsday prepper, whatever it is, you are
the person who built this house,
storing up stuff.
There's a bomb shelter.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I'm not even.
And I'm telling.
I wasn't even thinking about that. But
I can't not think about
it. We're sitting right on top of it.
We're not. It's over there.
No one knows that.
Yeah. Everybody on YouTube ain't been in your house.
That's true.
But
not yet.
It's
don't come here.
It's the silos full of grain, and tomorrow we die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's good. Whereas peace is eternal hope. I think mm-hmm. I'm just going to hit everything tonight.
The table?
Smack.
Baby gate?
Smack.
I just realized the baby gate's in the frame, too.
That's all good.
It's been there. It's just fine, man.
That's why I just hit my microphone.
Have some peace about it.
I just smacked my microphone with my head.
Like I was.
Oh. And we'll get to this when we do the peace episode. But if you think of the opposite of peace as fear, then all sorts of texts open up
mm-hmm.
by the Bible saying, fear not, do not fear.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now at Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have redeemed you.
Yeah.
I've called you by name. You are mine. Before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after. I am the Lord. So, and this is just a shameless plug for our church. When COVID hit and we shut down, Pastor preached through Isaiah, the 40s of Isaiah, and it was just so comforting because there was no security, right? There was there was nothing. There was, we could have 10 people in this building to produce this sermon and we all got to sit far apart because one of us might be dead tomorrow. I mean, early on, we didn't know.
Yeah, nobody knew.
Right.
Yeah, and there was no peace. And we're looking at texts like that, and it's like, okay, this is reality. This is what we can have. We can have true peace even if the world is burning down around us, which is great.
Yeah. Patience.
Bryce, why don't you take it? Because you don't got none of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Says the guy with no patience.
Yeah.
I didn't write
that. I'm not a doctor.
I was like, so quick. I was going to stay there. It's like, wait, you're not a doctor. Okay, anyway.
If you had made that joke, I'd be like, yes, Brad, thank you.
Oh, and Brandon makes it and he's not Steve?
My dad doesn't have jokes.
Yeah,
you're my dad's name.
I don't know his dad about your dad's bad dad's jokes.
Boom roasted. You don't know.
Gary.
Nope. No.
Edward.
Steve. That's my dad.
You're the worst. You're the worst.
Paul.
It's not
Paul?
Edward. No.
Oh my gosh.
No. Well, he's an avid listener. Your mom. So disappointed.
Your mom's name is Leanne.
Nailed it.
Your dad's the guy that ignored me on Dakota Avenue.
I'm gonna make him listen to this episode.
Doug.
Yeah, it is Doug.
Doug. Got it.
Douglas.
Okay.
Crush it.
All right, patience.
I've been waiting for you to get to this one. So let's go.
Okay. Your dad listens to this?
No, I'm gonna make him. Well, I think he would if I told him. He's very supportive of everything I do.
Aw.
Yeah. I just don't know if I've told him. Because we're that good at promoting this podcast.
You haven't told your parents?
I think I have. I don't know. I forget. Maybe you get what I have.
Send him the link.
Done.
All right. Patience. Do you want me to read that question? Or am I reading?
You want me to get advice?
Go ahead.
No, okay. I can't read. I know I say I can't, but I swear I can. How often do we hear from Christians and non-Christians alike that I have no patience? Oh, gosh. I mean, I say it all the time. Yeah. In your opinion, what should we as Christians do to strive to be more patient and understanding like Jesus was?
That's a great question.
That is a great question. Please answer it.
Me too?
Yeah, go for it. What do you think, Brandon?
I'm chomping at the bit on this. Can
get in there.
I'm blind. I just
nothing, there. Nothing is as important or urgent as we make it out to be.
Ooh, that's solid.
Oh my gosh, if you have an eternal mindset, nothing is quite as ready to explode as we think it is.
That is solid.
Calm down.
Yeah. Life goes on when you're not there.
Yeah.
That is a solid answer.
I mean, overseas in Australia right now, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. Like middle of the day. Future.
Where's my watch?
You know,
sorry.
We can find it later because it's not important.
It's not important.
That's right.
It'll be fine. Yeah,
that's a very helpful, helpful sentence.
Yeah. That's a thing, though, right? Like that's, and it's not just internally our own faults. I think we feed it, but it's also culturally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's pushed on us constantly.
Oh, yes. It is.
Like the urgency of everything I do in my job is not that important.
Email to your phone.
Because time is money. Like that's literally how far
my position doesn't make money, but yeah.
I know, but still, your position supports the positions that make money.
Yes.
And if they get slowed down by a problem, they're losing money.
That's true.
And so you're losing them money.
They're losing money.
But like...
It's hard to...
But for the most part, it happens almost everywhere. As someone who's worked in several like call centers, tech support and customer service.
Yeah.
It's gonna be okay.
Man.
Listen, I'm like calm
my heart rate is up just thinking about those old jobs, like just how they needed your handle times. They don't even call them call times anymore. They call them handling because like you need to handle that customer. Person. You need to drive the call and end it quickly and efficiently. And if you can't have it under this amount of time, you're losing us money. It's like I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you can't expect a corporation to have an eternal mindset. So, our culture is going to just get worse in that. I don't think there's any bringing us back.
No. Well, like, if your sometimes it seems like if your career's not up and to the right, it's not successful and it's not going well. Because that means if you're up and to the right, you're a slave to your job.
Mm-hmm.
Which we're not supposed to be a slave to anything.
Progression.
Progression.
We're thinking about grass.
Yeah. progression.
You know, I'm slow today. You guys keep saying things, and I like frozen yogurt. I don't.
If I called it Froyo, would that help?
I mean, I know what frozen yogurt is.
I just learned it. You're a basic white girl.
I am.
Yeah.
Weirdness.
How difficult is it to be kind to someone you don't like? Someone that has hurt you deeply. Jesus calls us to an. Let me start that over. Jesus calls us to enemy love, which for us is difficult. I mean, true that.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant.
Which we'll get into that.
Which is difficult because we are.
Yes.
And yet we're called to love.
Right. Yes.
Yep.
Mm. Yes. I perceive you to be a kind person. You have a problem with this?
Wait. I did not follow your sentence properly.
Sorry. You have a problem being kind? I don't think this is one you would struggle with.
Yeah, I don't think you struggle with this. Maybe this internally, like, I guess.
Situationally, I can.
Yeah.
Interesting. There are people that's like, they need worse treatment for me. Like, I will go away from situations and be like, man, I was too nice to them. They did not deserve that. Like, and then I got to fix that because that's the hard issue without
being outward. That's not you being humble.
That's a big struggle.
Humility?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know if that's outwardly a thing, but like inwardly.
Yeah, definitely not outwardly. I would not guess that.
It's a big fight.
You are one of the most humble people I've ever met in my life.
On the outside.
On the outside.
I can't even accept that. It might be true.
On the outside?
Okay.
And I've known you for a long dang time.
All right.
I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
When we get to kindness in more depth, I'd like to talk about how sometimes our kindness is rooted in something different. Like for me, I'm often kind because I'm a people pleaser.
Right.
I don't want it to be known that I could be a real bad guy behind the scenes or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Kindness makes interaction easy.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know why. I think of the struggles of all of these, like that one really sticks out to me as like that one you can really hide if you want to be
the
kind of person who wants to get something from somebody.
Yeah. Was it Christopher J.H. Wright says, kindness in other words is not just a term to describe actions, but a characteristic that describes people who habitually behave in a way that blesses and benefits others because that is their character.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Kindness has to become our character. I like the quote there.
Goodness, I got this. So have you ever heard the term, he is such a good man or she is a really good friend? These statements aren't about them being competent at something, but a judgment of character, being generous or going the extra mile for someone else. This is the character of Christ. So like in the African Christians would have a response that they would use together, that God is good all of the time. God is good. That's what we are supposed to be.
Yep.
You know, and Psalms 136:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And Psalm 119:68 also says, you are good and you do what is good. Teach me your statutes. Christopher J. H. Wright also says, the cross, this was my favorite quote when I was reading this book, like going back over this book, like this was, I was sitting on the couch and I was like, holy crap, what just happened? But it was like, the cross and resurrection are not just the proof of God's goodness. They are also the source and pattern of any and all goodness we can do as Christians. Like that hit me. That hit me good. I was like, I like the bed. I'm like, Bethany, this is in this book and it's so good. And she's like, yeah.
That's great. She was probably like, she's like, why are you waking me up, Brandon?
I'm like, sorry, look, this is so good.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
We're just here to take your order. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, set it aside. Set it on the side so I can pick it up.
Dr. Wendy, please. I got that. That's how it's going.
Faithfulness.
I got that one.
Get it.
On the one hand, being faithful means being trustworthy and dependable. A faithful person is a person of honesty and integrity. Someone you can rely on. Faithful people keep their word. They do what they promise. They can be trusted not to cheat or deceive. Christopher J.H. Wright, again, gives us some questions to ask ourselves about our faithfulness. Are we true to our word? Do we know with absolute and no doubt that when we asked We are asked to do something that we'll be faithful to see it through. Are we faithful to our spouses? Are we faithful to our friends? Psalm 25:10 says, all the Lord's ways show faithful love and truth to those who keep his covenant and his decrees. For the word of the Lord is right, and all of his work is trustworthy. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the Lord's unfailing love. Psalm 33:4-5.
Boom.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
The act of being full of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder because our culture is so opposite of mm-hmm. faithfulness. We can do whatever we want with whoever we want, and it doesn't matter who we hurt in the path of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about us.
Just think about being dependable, right? Mm-hmm. Are we dependable?
Yeah.
You know, there are verses like in James 5 where it says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, right? That's faithfulness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like saying, when I say my yes is yes, or no means no. You don't want to be the guy that's like, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. And then you don't show up. Because it's easier to say yes than it is to be honest and say, no, I was never going to come.
Yeah.
You hope?
Yes.
Let's happen.
That's why I never say, I'll be there on time. I always just say, I will get there eventually.
That happened tonight.
that was a rough one. Yeah. We did not time that out well.
I thought you guys were going to drive separate.
That did not happen.
Yeah, I mean, and I noticed that when I saw you guys driving
home.
And
then I forgot to add more time onto, like, how early we should have left because I would have to go all the way home first.
Oh, it's fine.
And then back.
If you only had a friend in logistics.
Yeah, if only.
You're a bus driver.
Okay, first of all, that is an insult to bus drivers everywhere.
Yeah.
Whoa. Are you that bad?
Have you seen me drive?
No.
Ask the guys that work for me. They're like, you're the worst.
Are you that bad?
Yeah, I get them right to the shop. They're like, you're the worst. I'm like, sorry, man.
You're the worst.
I just manage them. I don't drive them. Bryce, give us some gentleness here.
Yes.
I don't have any of that.
All the better.
That's bad. Gentleness is the ability to endure something without reacting with aggression. Why is gentleness such a hard thing? That's a great question.
It's a spirit thing. Yeah. You need to be led by the spirit.
We're not naturally gentle people.
Nope. No.
Nope.
What could we as Christians do to become a more gentle presence in our world of constant irritability?
Be less political. Sorry.
That side of the table is working hard.
Like, yeah.
Yes.
Working hard.
Got anti-politics on that side.
Not anti, just
got a couple of flags swinging, Bible thumping weirdos over here.
I don't like flags.
America's like family. I love it, but I don't always like it.
It's like the church.
Yeah, same.
Could use it in a lot of
things. Use it in a lot of things.
Yeah. Gentleness makes us aware that other people are humans and need to be treated well. I struggled with that for so stinking long, and Andrew can attest to this because he's heard me talk to a Verizon customer service. I was the person calling and being a Karen. I was that person. It took a long time for me to realize that is a human being on the other side of the line.
Yeah.
That is a person that has to go to their job and listen to me gripe.
They
got to
go home.
And then they have to go home to their families or go home alone, which was even sadder to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to repent. I wish I could call every single one of those people back and apologize, but I cannot. Ephesians.
You mean you didn't keep all your case numbers?
No. No.
Supposed to write those down for your records, Bryce.
I didn't
you
know
yelled at them, then you didn't even listen, do what they told you to do?
No.
Shame.
Ephesians 4:1-3. Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
I love how all these verses we're pulling just have these different fruit, the Spirit mm-hmm. just intertwined with
yeah.
them. I mean,
yeah.
When that commentator said it's like a bunch, they come together. You can just see how much they bleed over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously,
is that why they're called fruits? No, I'm serious. This is a real question.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea of fruit would be because the root is faith, and the root produces fruit, And so by calling it fruit, just like by calling the church the body, the ideas of proximity and nearness and working mm-hmm. together, I think words and images matter. So I think
yeah.
in that culture, the agrarian culture would know about fruit and planting, and that a seed is planted and then fruit is the production. Like, you can't grow mm-hmm. dates out of an apple tree, right? So it's yeah. just a common.
It also implies the order. You cannot get an yeah. apple tree from an apple in your hand.
Right.
Or you can't revive a dead tree by attaching mm-hmm. fruit to it.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah.
You know?
You can't tape the apples onto the tree.
Staple the tree.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Which is essentially what legalism is, right? Yeah, I mean, it's taking yes. fruit and stapling it onto a dead tree.
We laugh, but yeah. we've all done it.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Can I you are referring to mm-hmm. this? From the book.
Oh, what book is that?
Oh, who wrote that? Oh, Christopher J.H. Wright. Sorry. Oh,
okay.
He forgot the name.
I've heard that name. I feel like,
yeah, I feel like I've heard recently. I feel like I've been talking to him. What do you got?
Who's that?
Well, this is so. This is on the chapter of gentleness, but it says so with all these teachings and examples of Jesus, it's not surprising that Paul turned gentleness and humility from being despised qualities in his surrounding culture into prime evidence of the work of the Spirit of Jesus in our lives. The very things the world mocked, Paul affirmed as qualities that make us more like Christ. Hmm. It's true. You do that now. It's not what gentle.
That was essentially the question that I was getting at earlier yeah. was the culture doesn't put a premium on many of these fruits.
Not at all.
Right.
But that doesn't determine. I mean,
it's odd because I think people are trying to obviously find a counterfeit love. And counterfeit peace. Mm. Like, I've noticed mm-hmm. at least those two in particular are very, very counterfeit. Because you're trying to find yep. love and just doing whatever you want. Mm. And you're trying to find peace through your broken mind mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. your deteriorating body.
Mm-hmm.
And are you trying to find kindness? And you find someone kind if they reward you something. Or give you something. You get something in return mm-hmm. for doing something else.
Yeah, your kindness is self-serving, isn't yes. it? That person was kind to me, or I'm being kind to that yes. person for what I can get for it.
Yeah.
Instead of just being kind for being kind.
And people yeah. aren't gentle anymore.
No.
Well, I would say that when we exemplify one aspect or another of the fruits, the world puts a false negative on top of
yeah.
it. If a man shows love, he's either effeminate or sappy or oversharing, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. If he has joy, he's delusional. If he has peace, he is passive. If he has patience, he's lazy or doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
If he's kind, he is
manipulative.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's good.
Sure, yeah.
If he has goodness, he is probably corrupt. If he is faithful, then he is a sheep. And if yeah. He's gentle, he's weak. And we even got to self-control yet, in which case he's boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, straight up, that's like good. You just literally explained, I mean, if mm-hmm. anyone's still listening, as they should be, that is the world and the devil trying to thwart what God would tell us to be, right?
Mm-hmm. World, flesh, yeah. and the devil.
And who we listen to matters, right? The reason why you got a bunch of guys who want to be tough and not gentle is because they love John Wayne, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your culture informs your Bible reading instead of your Bible reading informing your culture.
Yeah.
That's good. And I'm a big John Wayne guy. And I mean, there's a lot of things you can learn from a good Western, but could not learn to be a fully orbed fruit of the Spirit.
You can learn good things from Westerns.
I learned a lot of good things from Godzilla.
I've never shot a man in the back. I learned that from a Western.
I've never shot a man.
Never me hit neither, a man with a closed fist.
I didn't learn that from a Western.
All right.
You got me on that one.
Splitting hairs, maybe, but hey.
A Western told me never hit a man with a closed fist, and I don't know what other kind of fist there is.
You ask Will Smith. Oh.
Guys, you're so much faster in the wit tonight than I am. Stinking dang it.
That was a good one.
Give us self-control, Andrew. Let's keep going.
Oh, yeah.
Will Smith.
Or not.
If you're listening. Probably
not. Yeah, he's not listening.
Friend
to
the program.
No comment. We got another Christopher J. H. Wright quote. Many of the behaviors that Paul lists show human nature out of control and at its sinful, excessive worst. That kind of uncontrolled life lets people give into self-indulgence, sexual gratification, pride, gluttony, and so on. Self-control is the opposite of those kinds of sinful behaviors. We're looking at how our culture preaches that we deserve whatever we want, whether it be material items or to party with without consequence or to have sex with anyone. We have a serious overindulgence problem. That is marketing degrees. if you have a job in
Nike
in marketing, you have told someone one of these lies.
I worked in marketing.
Yeah. You've told someone one of these lies. How dare
you? No, you didn't. You just followed guys around on lawnmowers.
Yeah, probably.
For a long time.
Stupid. You deserve a short lawn.
Your lawn will be green forever.
Okay, got some questions. How can we demonstrate self-control? Is there a practice from the way of Jesus that points us to a more controlled and spirit-filled life? We should do those separately, shouldn't we? Yeah, okay.
That's okay, though.
Edit.
That's okay.
A couple questions. How can we demonstrate self-control?
I know. Go ahead. Practicing self-control.
Wow. No. You know, I'll give you a hot take.
Not indulging in whatever you want to have.
I'll give you a hot take from a class I'm taking online right now. 90% of the things people call addictions are lack of self-control problems.
Dang. That's true.
So if you think about psychology and they're teaching that everything is a disease and takes the view that you have no personal responsibility to what's happening to you. I think that ultimately comes down to a self-control issue. As Christians, we were called to have self-control, which means that we have to live in a way that says we will die to ourselves and live to Christ. Right. So. That's a hot take, and that is also a blanket statement, and we would want to caveat it and say there are lots of things you want to think about when it comes to mental health and these things. We're recording this during Mental Health Month, and I'm aware of all of that. This will come out sometime in July, probably. But anyway, I think that one way to practice self-control is to take personal responsibility for the things that are happening to us. That is self-control in a nutshell. Yeah. Take control of the fact that, guess what? You have sinful self-indulgences. You're not unique. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation that's come upon you is unique to man. But in every way, God is faithful, and he gives a means of escape to those who pursue it. So there's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. What the Bible calls drunkenness, we call addiction today. It's the same thing. Yeah. The same thing.
And I would say that it snowballs because when we're taught that we don't have responsibility for that stuff. That's a gateway to the next one.
Yeah.
At that point, you let your guard down.
Well, then anything goes.
Yeah.
We have more psychologists per capita than we've ever had. And we have more mental health issues in this country than we've ever had.
Yeah.
Explain to me why it's not getting better.
Just to pay for all of them.
Well, that's just it.
Well, it's.
And that's, again, I don't want to throw stones at that industry. I'm just saying. I care a lot about people's mental health, but I care about them finding it biblically.
For sure. Well, I think that's because, and we're also pushed to, like it says, to have accumulation is good.
Right.
More stuff, more. If you go on, like for me, if I go out, I'm going to buy the same colored shoes, black and white, or another black t-shirt. So I've thought.
You're wearing a blue one.
I know, I've got a blue one on. I've had this one. It's starting to get a hole in the pocket. So I wear it so often. But it's just like we're trying to find love and satisfaction and like almost affirmation in the things that we have. And it's certain stuff that we have.
And trying to fill the empty.
Yeah. We can't fill it with stuff. And that's why we have Gil Hollings that have giant piles of trash. because we just throw stuff out.
You're talking about the trash company. Yeah. And it took me way too long to get there.
That's okay.
I was like,
who's Jill Hollings?
I was like, who is this that? Person?
Jill Hollings is a dweeb.
But that's why we have, like, I don't know. That's why we have so many, what is it? When you're going to the checkout, you have the nice array
of impulse
buyers.
Dude, it's so like you're like,
you know what?
Too.
I think I deserve that Reese's Cup.
I think I need a Coke.
But you know what? It was probably not made well. Give me a Coke.
Is there a practice that Jesus exemplified that points us to a more controlled and spirit-filled life?
Simplicity.
I think
the answer is right there. It says yes.
Simplicity.
Simplicity.
Mm. Yes. Which means what?
This means what? It means we live a simple life and we don't fill our stuff, our lives with clutter. Because they're just distractions.
Where will we eat and where will we sleep?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Does not matter.
It does not matter.
I'll give you a quote from Practicing the Way.
Tell me.
Give it to you. We are told that the good life is found in accumulation. More is better. We search for things that will make us happy, yet happiness never comes. Or at least, it doesn't last. Searching and coming up empty can bring us to a miserable place. The way of Jesus calls us to create space in our schedules, in our homes, in our finances, for what really matters. It calls us to life with Jesus, to abide in his goodness, and to enjoy life to the full in the kingdom of God. That means nothing else matters but Jesus. That's what matters. Mm. And we're supposed to reorientate our lives to have him fill up more of it and to be satisfied more in him than things of the earth that pass away.
I heard John Piper say one time, I think I've said this on a podcast, when we talked about fasting, he said, fasting to me is saying to you, God, you're more important to me than food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when I think of self-control, I think of God, you are more important to me than fill in the blank. And that, I mean, at its core, that is what self-control is, saying, I love you more than my fleshly desires for all the things, whether it's food, drink, success, family. I mean, even the good things that God gives us, we can lose our self-control and go all the way for it.
It's true.
That's just an extension of there's nothing that we love properly unless we love God more than it.
Mm.
And that goes
that love
all the way.
Again.
Yeah.
It keeps coming back.
It keeps coming back to love.
Like, I love explaining that, like, because this blows the minds of, like, family that I talked about this that aren't believers. Like, I love Brittany, but I don't love my wife more than God, because if I do, I'm not loving her properly.
Mm, yeah.
I'm doing a disservice to her.
Yeah.
And she feels exactly the same. Like, we're on the same page about that. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, like, we kind of have this marriage thing down. Like, we're doing a pretty good job. I'm not trying to brag on that. I'm just saying, like, I think we've got a decent amount of it figured out by God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if more people could get on board with that point of view, whether from the top or right now, wherever you are in it, like, there's nothing that can, like, just be on a pedestal above God in your life and still be loved in the way that it deserves.
Mm. That's good. That's really good.
Yep.
Well, I think the main scripture that I thought of with this ideal of simplicity or things of this earth do not matter was the rich young ruler. And I think part of it, like, I won't read the whole thing. I imagine most of you that listen to this know this passage of scripture in Luke, but it's Luke 12:13-21 if you want to. I'm not going to read I'm not going to read the whole thing. The translation I used was the CSB, but I kind of enjoyed how Jesus responded to him. But it was just someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus answers, "Friend," which is like, that just shows you how gentle he is. He's like, "Friend." Yeah. He probably wasn't like harsh with him. Right. Super gentle with him. It was like, "Friend," he said to him, "who appointed me judge or arbiter over you?" "Then watch out, be on your guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of possessions." And that's, I mean, even back then, people thought the more you had, the more status.
Yep. That's still now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny part is, the more, a lot of times, the more people have, the more in debt they are.
I always like to play a fun game in my head, rich or massively in debt.
Yeah. Well, I always think, like, I see, like, and this isn't all, this probably is not all the time. But you see people with an abundance of money and abundance of things.
Mm-hmm.
Probably over 50% of the time, they're living paycheck to paycheck. And they still, and like, yeah, I deliver water and salt. I went to someone's home. Closet was so full that I could barely walk through it to get to the softener inside this like walk-in closet full of stuff. And I was just like, I'm like, they got a problem, but I know I have a problem too. Because to me, it's like, at the first, I was like, man, they must have it really well off, or they've done a lot of good things. But I never think of the sacrifice that comes with having all that stuff. Lost time with your spouse or your kids. Mm-hmm. You don't get to see your kids grow up because you're just too busy working from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, more money, more problems.
You know, I would also say that's, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
The great theologian, Biggie Smalls.
I was going to say, thanks, Biggie.
I think of Matthew 6, where it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Yeah. Mm.
And I was just talking with Naomi about this week. We're talking about, you know, just different, you know, like investment opportunities or maybe ways to make extra money. And we just got to talking, and we kind of landed on this idea, like, we each... specifically me, only have so much bandwidth, right? I only got so much time. I only have so much mental energy. And to really hustle and make a living, do it like some sort of side hustle, the amount of like just mental thought and time it would require, like I'm not serving God anymore. Now I'm serving money.
Yeah.
And I think, the listeners here that are entrepreneurs, entrepreneurial minded, that's not a slight on them. What I'm saying is that when it comes to like having a full-time job and wanting to serve God and wanting to be an entrepreneur on the side, one of those things has got to give.
Yeah.
Right? It's one thing if you're an entrepreneur full-time, right? It's two things. It's whatever. You got to work. You got to love God.
Mm-hmm.
But like when it comes to like we try to tack all this stuff on the back end, like at least for me anyway, right? And I come down on this like I want to serve God first and trust that he will provide, and the side hustle might have to wait. Right.
Yeah.
You know,
I always thought it's like,
That's self-control. No, I wanted to say that. Like we're not off of the reservation here. It's like,
no,
like saying I will willingly give up more extra money because like I need to control my time.
Yeah.
And spend it the right way.
Yeah. You know, and I looked at like, where do I waste? Like, where's my waste going? Where am I wasting more money?
Mm.
And this is the money, obviously it's the money talk, but it's like, if I'm wasting
money talk with Dave Ramsey and his buddies,
right? But it's like if I'm wasting so much amount of money,
cards, get the scissors,
right? On like say like junk food or whatever. Like if I'm saying spending, I don't know, like $60 to $80 on myself on junk food. I'm not saying I do that, but it's like
a week, a day,
no,
a month?
Like say like a month. That's still $80
for breakfast.
Yeah, for breakfast.
Every Tuesday.
So it's like that, but if you're seeing it, you're like, I'm wasting my money, and if my family's struggling, and we're struggling to like make it because we're just wasting the stuff. I mean, it just means we don't have self control. And
that's
you know, it's just like
I've been there.
I guess I can't eat out if money's tight, can't eat out,
mm-hmm.
or if money's tight, I can't get this second pair of black and white Vans. Or something like that.
Oh yeah, because you need more Vans.
I don't need more Vans. I'm not even kidding how many times a week I struggle with myself saying I want this pair of new shoes, but I through the Lord's grace, I'm like, no, I don't.
I literally don't even understand.
Well, are you a woman? Hang on.
Shoes are cool.
I think this is a universal thing because sometimes I'll just hop on the computer like, let's see what black wings got going on the pencils.
Yeah.
We've got our thing.
Like surfing. I'm like, dude, everybody's got the thing.
Okay, everybody's got the thing. You're right. I'm constantly going to Apple and Mac rumors and trying to find out what's happening in the next MacBook or the next iPhone.
I look at bikes too, like bicycles.
I can't look at bikes. They're so expensive, dude.
I was looking at a foldable one today. I'm like, man, this is really
looked at a foldable one yesterday.
Yeah. I'm like, this would be really
sweet. So cool.
You and I have never looked at a bike ever.
I actually have looked at the foldable bike.
You're kidding. It's so cool.
I had a coworker buy one. So I was
really
interested. Yeah.
They're cool.
I'm out.
They're so cool.
This has been the Unsettled Podcast. I'm not coming back.
She bought it used. It was already still expensive, and it's expensive to fix.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. Just letting you know.
So I'm sitting here like.
Still super neat.
It's cool.
Yeah. Because then it's like, I want these bicycles, and then I want this, you know, that Dark Cycles merch I showed you before? Yep. I'm like, I want that hat with the wheel and the arrows on it.
Yes.
But I'm like, I don't need it. I've got, it's black. I've got like five black hats.
Yeah, I was looking at Specialized stuff. There's so much I want.
You guys ever want Hunt rims, let me know.
Hunt rims, what's that?
They make rims for bikes.
Yeah.
High end. My brother-in-law is the president of their North American division.
Like, we can get them on the...
Oh, no, I couldn't get you a deal. Like, you're paying full price, but I can at least get you some.
Anyways, after
friend of the program, Sam Johnson.
He can send you the link to the website.
Yeah. He'll make sure they ship to you in 3 to 8 weeks. I'm just kidding. I don't want to take
Are you shipping for him or what?
Not to divulge off of what
Johnson,
we're doing.
If you want me to work in your logistics department, my number.
Yeah, self-control.
So there we are.
So there it was.
So we don't need to do it on self. We just spent a whole episode doing self-control. So,
and telling you how bad we are.
No, we'll do a whole episode.
Yeah, we'll do it.
This has been good.
Yeah, this has been good. I think
this
a lot to cut out.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh yes, we do.
You always do.
But I think this series.
No, it's not as much now.
I think this series in particular is going to be really fun.
I think we're going to learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully you guys learn a lot and you apply it to your life.
If you see us in real life, you can make fun of us for where we're at.
Yes.
You guys suck.
You guys are hypocrites.
Well, you know what? We're working on ourselves.
I'm working on myself along with a 5-star review.
You know, you can write whatever you want about us on patreon.com.
I'm not linking it anywhere on this video because that was really hard last time.
What was it? Oh, you mean in the video? Like,
yeah. Well, you see, we don't have enough views on YouTube yet for that to happen. So,
well, maybe we shared the link.
Hey,
maybe if we actually did something.
We should really try to promote off the air. We should talk about how we can actually promote this.
You know, that's a really good idea.
That's not a bad idea.
My wife is like, "What are you guys doing?" I'm like, "I don't know."
I don't either.
I have ideas. I have a lot of ideas that just all cost money.
Oh, by the way,
so patreon.com, buy me a coffee.
Yeah.
One of those.
How did we not talk about that? We were number 40 in the world last week.
2 weeks ago.
Doesn't matter.
We were number 40.
We'll talk later.
And then we were number 63 the next week. I haven't looked.
We'll take a look. But yeah, go to Apple Podcasts, rate us, share us, please. You can rate us on Spotify. They have a rating system on there. Just share us to your friends.
People are doing it.
I'll tell you.
We appreciate it a lot. But yeah, this has been Outsiders Podcast.
Just remember, guys.
Just remember.
You got them holy scripts padlocked in your chest thumper for this week.
I love it.
This has been Outsiders Podcast. We will see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.